Corey Simpson joins the show now. Welcome, Corey.
Hey, Luke. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to theater people. Not only do you make me laugh usually, but you make me think, too.
I thought you were going to say, but you make me cry.
Well, you know, crying is part of it, isn't it? Especially these days.
Yeah. We're trying to help people laugh a little bit more right now than cry. Let's put it that way.
Well, you have a new play opening tonight. It's called Annapurna. Is that going to make us laugh or is it going to make us cry?
I think it might do a little bit of both, but it definitely leans toward the funny side with some really, really touching moments.
Oh, well, that sounds good. I guess that's what we need, right? We need these days, anyway. It's called Annapurna. It's by playwright Char White. Can you give us a little synopsis of what it's all about?
I would be happy to. So Annapurna is it's a story of a formerly married couple, and it stars Ulysses, who is a washed-up poet who is living in a decrepit trailer in Paonia, Colorado, right over the hill from us.
Huh.
And suddenly his ex-wife, who he hasn't seen in 20 years, appears on his doorstep. And we don't know much about their history, and we learn a whole lot about some really terrible events that happened in their past as the night unfolds.
Ooh. And I'll bet a lot of that is spoiler material, too, isn't it?
There's definitely spoiler material there, yeah.
Well, you know, after showing up 20 years after they split, that sort of qualifies as an ambush, doesn't it?
It is a little bit of an ambush, although the poet in the play is at the end of his life, so she's also there to help him out as well.
Oh, okay. Are they going to kiss and make up after 20 years?
You think I'm going to give you the answer? We're going to have to give a spoiler alert here.
I'm sorry. One of these days I'll learn, you know. This is a one-act play, isn't it?
It is a one-act play. It runs around 90 minutes, and we haven't changed that for COVID or for online viewing. It was meant to be a one-act play.
Does a one-act play change your approach to the material? I mean, it's sort of like a short story, isn't it? You have to get to the point pretty quickly.
You do. Are you asking me in terms of creating theater if it changes the process?
Well, yeah, I guess I am.
With a 90-minute play, yes, you're definitely taking the audience on an arc where it's not a lot of time to really tell a deep story. And so, yes, I think playwrights tend to get into the material pretty fast, and you're off and running quickly because you only have those 90 minutes for a beginning, a middle, and an end. So it has to be resolved in just 90 minutes.
Huh. Does that change your approach as a director? I mean, that sounds like then, based on what you just said, that's the playwright's responsibility to get to that point quickly.
That is, and then as a director, and also for the actors, of course, this is a two-person play featuring local talented actors, Kristen and Jeff Carlson, actually, from Glenwood Springs. And with a two-person play, it's a huge challenge for the actors, because obviously they have a lot to memorize, and they have a full 90 minutes of material, so you think they're both splitting that material between the two of them. And it does change the rehearsal process a little bit, in that it's not a 2.5-hour Shakespeare production, so fewer rehearsals are usually required, and it also offers a really fun opportunity to really dive into the material with the actors and really talk about motivations and the relationship between them. And actually, speaking of relationships, this was really fun to work on, because the way that we kept this process safe was that Kristen and Jeff Carlson are this married couple. And so they can be on stage together and as close as we want them as actors. So that was kind of a fun way to work on the process. And then the rest of us, of course, were masked at rehearsal. But so getting back to your question, Yeah, it's a big effort for the two actors. It's a lot of energy to put out, even though it's only 90 minutes. And so we do work on the pacing of the piece, and we refer to it as scoring, which is, you think of a piece of music that has rises and falls and different dynamics, you know, quiet and soft and faster, louder. And we do all of that with a 90-minute piece so that it starts to build and gradually takes on momentum, and then that comes to a climax, and then there's the denouement, and you're finished with the piece. You wrap it up.
You've been, so I guess you're saying the rehearsal process hasn't been as unwieldy as it could have been in these COVID times.
Not at all. It has been a total pleasure.
Nice.
And Kristen and Jeff are two total goofballs at rehearsal. Uh-huh. So, no, it has been a lot of fun. And, you know, like everybody, those of us that were wearing masks that aren't performing, we just adapted, and the theater space itself is fairly large if you don't have a big audience in there. And so we were keeping plenty of distance from them, the stage manager, and then I as director. And we just adjusted to it, and it worked out really well.
But things haven't changed enough to where you can still offer live performances. You're still doing this one as a virtual performance. Right?
We are offering this only as virtual. And our plan, I'm not sure if you're aware, that the stipulation is that for indoor performances, there has to be 25 feet of distance between any audience member and a performer. Ooh. And so in our space, you think about a stage space and then trying to distance an audience that far from them. That doesn't leave much room at all for an audience, of course.
No.
We are doing something different with our season this year. Normally, we announce the full season of plays for that upcoming year at the beginning of the season. And this year, we're doing that differently because of COVID. Things are just continuing to unfold. And so I'm selecting pieces one at a time as we go based on what the current status of things are, if there's a vaccine, how efficacious it is, how many people get vaccinated, how long that helps them. And so I'm just going to be keeping my pulse on all that as we go on through the year. And then I'll pick pieces with smaller casts, or if things get safer, potentially larger casts. And we're also deciding one at a time if perhaps we can start to invite small audiences into the building with, you know, a traffic pattern that keeps everything safe. Or if we can get back closer to normal as the year progresses. Uh-huh. So it's really a one-at-a-time season.
Huh. So what other boxes did Annapurna check as far as the things that you always look for?
Annapurna checked a number of boxes, actually. It's a smart piece. It has a great character for a lead woman. In fact, when I was looking at productions for this slot, I really was hoping to find a powerhouse piece for two women. And I was honestly surprised at how few what we call two-handers or two-actor plays there were that were really engaging and interesting that featured two characters. And so I ended up landing on this play that has one man and one woman. But so it checked a box for a strong leading woman character who really in some ways is driving this piece. Like I said, I'm always looking for smart material. Our audience tends to be very astute. They've seen a lot of theater. They see a lot of the arts. So I'm always looking for smart theater. And this was that fun balance between comedy and more serious at times. It offered an opportunity for some really heartfelt work with the actors. It's very story and actor focused. And so I feel like we kind of knocked it out of the park with this one in terms of finding the right piece for this time.
Huh. Are you constantly trolling what other theaters around the country are doing just to see what is cutting edge? How does that process work for you as the person who chooses what to do?
We do a pretty good variety all the way from classic pieces, from the standard American repertoire, Shakespeare, all the way through contemporary playwrights. So yes, I am keeping a pulse on newer pieces that are being released that are out there. And at the same time, a lot of times, those newer pieces are being produced at so many theaters throughout the country. And I'm always looking for how can we do something that is a little bit different that people are not seeing in lots of other places. And also, it's definitely my aesthetic, and it was one that was established by Lon Winston, who was our founder, that we really love pieces that offer an opportunity for some kind of theatricality, not necessarily complete realism or photorealism. It's an interesting challenge choosing pieces and also not just following the crowd. We really want to stand out as our own theater with our own creative aesthetic that people find really exciting and different from what they can see if they maybe, you know, head down the hill to Denver or take a flight to New York or go to another place where other theaters are doing a lot of similar things to one another.
Are there a lot of playwrights in Colorado or even in this valley that you have your eyes on?
There is a playwright community in the Rocky Mountain region. And, of course, throughout the country, we have not had too much of a focus on new work development. We did have a fabulous playwright come in from Utah a couple years ago who did a really fun playwriting seminar for us. And I'm really interested in, I'm going to say, reviving that part of our programming, because right now during COVID, where it's really difficult to do these full-scale productions with big casts and then not having a lot of audience in there, so this current health situation really has me thinking about how this time is one where I think we can be fostering our playwrights more, maybe working more on new material and helping them develop that. And I am always really interested in local voices. One of the challenges in our valley, as you know, is that we're not as diverse as some other places. We have a big Latino community, a big Latino population here. And I'm hungry for ways to tell more of that story, a story that speaks to their experience. And I am always looking for ways to maybe try to add some more diversity to our stage, as well as tell some different voices. I think last show that we did, Pink Unicorn, was a playwright who's based in LA, and that piece was about a transgendered girl. And that was really exciting to do because it's not an issue that a lot of us in the Roaring Fork Valley see or address very often. It's not that that issue doesn't exist here, but it's not something we might see as much as if we were, say, in an urban center. So I'm always looking for those local voices, whether that be in our valley or in Colorado or the Rocky Mountain region. And I welcome plays from those playwrights.
Huh. It sounds like we need a little bit more of a critical mass in terms of population in order for that to bear fruit on stage.
It could. You know, obviously with the Black Lives Matter movement, that has really been simmering for me, how we can address important issues like that. And at the same time, as you know, and a lot of your listeners know, I would say 98% of our performers we hire locally from within our valley. We're not like some of the other theaters or arts organizations where they're bringing artists in primarily from other places and then they go back to where they're from. we're hiring almost all of our artists locally, all of our designers, our directors, our actors on stage, all of our friends and neighbors, relatives and coworkers. And what that means is I'm generally pulling from the local talent pool, which tends to not be as diverse here.
Corey Simpson, can you give us a little sneak preview on what might be coming later this year or early next?
I can take a shot at it.
And you'll smash it out of the park. I just know it.
Our consensual improv comedy troupe has been rehearsing. They've been rehearsing socially distanced with masks on and 6 feet apart, which I know is a little bit of a head scratcher for improv, but they've been having a great time rehearsing. And we have been talking about at some point trying to put together a live show outside, hopefully before the snow flies.
Oh.
We had a date planned to do that in October, and with cases starting to rise again, we have decided to postpone that until we see where this is going, to see if a second wave really is starting or if we think we can do it safely. You know, we don't want to get a group of people together if there's any risk involved with that. So hopefully we'll do something with our consensual improv group. We will continue with some of this virtual programming that we've been doing on our Thunderstream platform, which is our online platform where we've been offering lots and lots and lots of free programming over the last 6 months. So we'll keep going with that. We've had some local singer-songwriters on there. That's been a lot of fun. We've been doing lots of collaborations with local organizations. The one that comes to mind first and foremost is we hosted a number of the really popular Carbondale's First Fridays with Amy Kimberly and the Carbondale Creative District. And I think as it starts to get colder again and the snow flies, that we will probably be looking at bringing at least some of that online again on Thunderstream. And then, of course, the next production, it's still up in the air, the timing of that. And I'm just actively thinking about and looking for that exact right production that'll either happen this winter or this spring.
Okay.
And then we have one more production that we'll be doing early next summer, probably in the June or early July timeframe.
You know, in preparing for this interview, Corey, I discovered all the stuff that you're offering on that Thunderstream, and some of it looks really, really juicy. And you're telling me those are all free offerings. You don't have to. How does that work? How can one consume that?
Yeah, that's right. So if you just go to YouTube and search Thunder River Theater Company, you'll find our page. And all of those Thunderstreams are listed. I think there's a little section there where you can click on Thunderstream, and it'll list all of that content that we've had for the last 6 months, including those First Fridays that I mentioned. And anyone can view that online. So it's really easy to access that. And yeah, the evenings here get cooler, and maybe we're all looking for something to do safely at home and just kind of nestle in on the couch for a night. That's great material to check out.
Oh, yeah. Well, Corey Simpson, directing the new play at Thunder River Theater. Tonight is the opening night. It's called Annapurna. How can people get tickets? How does that all work?
Sure. So there are 5 dates when people can view this online. It's this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next Friday and Saturday. Tickets are available on our website at Thunder River Theater, spelled the old English way, theatre.com, so thunderrivertheater.com. There's a tickets link at the top of the page, and you'll see Annapurna listed there. And that's the easiest way to order tickets. Or, of course, you can always call our box office. That's 963-8200.
Hey, Corey, thanks a lot for filling us in.
Yeah, thanks so much, Luke. It's always great talking with you guys. I love Katie and Kay and what you guys do. So thanks so much for supporting us, too.
You know what? That feeling is mutual. But
it's
you probably already
great
knew
things
that.
About being in a small town. Right?
I know that's definitely true. But you know, when everybody's doing good work in one way or another, you know, it bears acknowledging.
Absolutely, yeah. So anyway, thanks again, Luke.
All right, Corey. Take care. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Thanks so much.
Ciao, baby.
Ciao. Thanks again.